You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We're days away from the start of the Women's World Cup. And finally, we've got a squad. Welcome to Shrunker 99.94. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Vazidevan from the Paparay. Estelle, we are talking today about the T20 Women's World Cup squad. The tournament begins in a few days' time in South Africa. There was a lot of... We were speculating if any of the under-19 girls might have made it into the squad. Vishmi did. No one else did. What's your kind of take on the squad, as it were?
Yeah, I think I would have been quite surprised if they had gone with any of the under-19s. I think a lot of people were talking about Deumi Vihanga. She's named in the team of the tournament for the under-19s competition as well. I would have been quite surprised if she had been picked, because she hasn't been training with the side. Vishmi, of course, obviously played for Sri Lanka before she went into the under-19 setup, so it was a given that she'd get picked. I would have been surprised. It would have been a nice surprise, to be honest, because she's the type of player I think that Sri Lanka would do well to have in their squad. But it's not to be. Not too many surprises in that squad, I think.
Yeah, Charmarie's captain. She's obviously the talismanwoman off the side. We'll be relying quite a lot on her runs. And as you say, there's not a huge amount of surprises. There's a few changes from the Asia Cup squad. They've dropped a spinner. Again, the issue we always have with this when we talk about the women's squad is I feel, and I don't know, maybe you feel differently, is that I feel it's still very difficult to find information about women's cricket in Sri Lanka, and even, you know, the SLC aren't overly transparent about, I know they're not transparent about any of the, how any of the sides they pick up it, but we don't see how, you know, where it's coming from. I mean, I started off by saying we were speculating if Deumi might make the squad. I was saying that mainly on the fact that the under-19s were the only women's side that's had any visibility in recent weeks. So it made sense for me to conclude that maybe one of the girls who done well there might make the senior squad, right?
Yeah, it is quite difficult to find information unless you can take time out of your day every time you want to find something out. Because like you said, SLC is not that forthcoming with information. It's not that they're hiding anything. I think it's just that they don't publicize much. As far as I know, the team was in a kind of a training in Dambulla with a wider squad, and the 15 were picked from there. Of course, Vishmi is coming straight from South Africa. But yeah, I guess it's tough. And I say not many surprises in the squad, because Sri Lanka haven't played since the Asia Cup, which was in October last year. So they've basically had nothing for the last 3 months. They've been training. So that's possibly why we haven't heard much about them, as opposed to like other countries where we've seen them playing. In fact, India, South Africa, West Indies, is it? Currently playing a tri-series in South Africa as well. So lots of chat around them, but not much around Sri Lanka. And I mean, what can you say, right? This is like an ongoing issue, the fixtures.
Yeah, absolutely. Do we have any intel, inside knowledge, or do we, we keep going, well, we talk about this head coach and management. We don't know who that is. No one's come out and said it. I've asked SLC who the management team, who the coaching team will be, go with them. They haven't been forthcoming with that information, in fairness, that they might not have decided yet. But somebody's making those calls. Ravi Ratnayake is the kind of person we believe it is kind of looking after. Do we know anything else beyond that as well? Because, as I say, I think their first warm-up game is in about 5 days' time, and presumably there'll be coaches on the sideline, there'll be physios with them, there'll be a manager with them. It just to me feels a bit weird. We don't know any of this information, right?
Yeah, so Rumesh Ratnayake has been the coach they've been training under since Hashan Tilakaratna stepped down after the Asia Cup. So basically, I think what's happened is Hashan Tilakaratna resigns, and then Sri Lanka Cricket have not appointed a head coach for the women's side. Instead, Rumesh Ratnayake, who is involved in the High Performance Centre, has been kind of given the task of preparing them for the World Cup. So I assume it's certain that he will travel with the team. I don't know about any of the support staff, whether that changed with Tilakaratna stepping down, because they did have spin bowling coach, batting coach. I mean, Lanka De Silva was with the side. So they did have support staff around Hashan Tilakaratna, who I assume are still there, because we haven't heard any different from SLC. In terms of managers, I think it might be the same lady who traveled with the under-19 side. Not much clarity in that. I guess with Tilakaratna stepping down in October, appointing a new coach also would not have, I don't know if it would have made a huge amount of difference with just a couple of months to go for the World Cup. But I mean, now, again, it's not something you can do anything about right now, right? Because it seems to be, I mean, it's already that time where we could have made that decision is gone. But I would say Rumesh Ratnayake is obviously a highly rated coach, has worked with the men's team in the past, has worked overseas as well. So that's a good thing for the team. I hope at least after the World Cup, they're able to, you know, recruit somebody who will have a long-term plan and kind of have a way forward for the side, so that we can see some improvement at least, you know, in the coming 2 years when there are a few more fixtures lined up for the side.
We talked earlier in the week about issues around the national selectors. I actually have no idea whether those selectors are involved in picking the women's side as well. Is it possible, all the kind of, I suppose, admin issues, the backstage issues going on, is having a knock-on effect to the women's side? Because, you know, I noticed when I got the press release that the sports minister does have to sign off on the women's squad as well. Mm-hmm. You know, are we seeing a knock-on effect? Because there is this uncertainty, or has that got absolutely nothing to do with it at this point?
My opinion is, when Arjuna Ranatunga or, whoever talks about Sri Lanka cricket selectors, they're talking about the men's team. I don't know even if the fact that there's a women's team is in their heads. There might be a change of selectors on the women's side, and I guess that wouldn't be such a bad thing, I think, because we haven't kind of, that's an area which we haven't paid that much attention to in terms of the women. For the men's side, it's always a topic of conversation, right? Are they picking the right guys? What is their vision? And so on. So, I mean, I wouldn't be too disappointed if there was a change in that aspect. But yeah, they are different. It's not the same set of selectors. I think there are three others. Hemanta Devapriya, I think, heads the women's selection committee.
Should we take a quick break there? I want to ask you, who are the players to watch? And when I say that, what I actually mean is, who are the players that can go on and you know, make a real mark of this tournament and potentially get a women's Premier League contract? And I want to talk about what we should be expecting. Where should our expectations be for Sri Lanka during this tournament?
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, I look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
Yeah, that's right. We do speak cricket here at 99.94. Remember to follow us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Is there any I've forgotten, Estelle? Any other
I'll be on TikTok.
Social media channel? Oh, I don't know. Well, I discovered recently that TikTok was banned in India.
In India, yeah.
I suspect we are probably not on TikTok.
Oh, before we go ahead, did you meet Mickey Arthur again? Because you seem to have scared him off Sri Lankans for a while. We spoke about him and suddenly he decides for Pakistan.
Yeah, so obviously I met him during the first ODI when he was doing commentary about 10 metres away from where I'm sitting to the right. And then there's the third ODI. I'm not in the Sunday, so I didn't see him, but the third ODI is today and I haven't seen him in the building. But in that time, as you say, he's signed for Pakistan. He's much rather take a job he's going to have to do remotely while living in Derbyshire than have to spend any more time with me around the water cooler at TalkSport Towers. So it's a real shame. Maybe he is here. Maybe I just haven't seen him. I can't listen to the commentary because I've got to...
You scared him away from Sri Lanka cricket. It's like the instant we finished and I went on Twitter and he's signed up with Pakistan.
I knew I shouldn't have brought up the shorts. I knew when I brought up talking about his shorts, that would be it. He didn't. Hopefully, somebody somewhere can restore relationship between Sri Lanka and Mickey Arthur that I have apparently. But I'm a bit embarrassed by it now, Estelle. I'm now thinking he's actively avoiding me. But there you go. I don't know what to say. apart from, I suppose, good luck to Mickey Arthur in his new job in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. And if he's, you know, at some point, it'd be nice to see him back working with the Sri Lanka players in some capacity, be it in the LPL or, at some point, another stint with the national side, maybe. It looks like there's it looks like we could be a turbulent few months for Sri Lankan men's side, but I suppose it's always a turbulent time for Sri Lankan cricket, right?
When is it not, right?
Who knows? Yeah, when is it not? Should we get back on track with the T20 World Cup squad? Women's cricket is having quite a moment with the announcement of the Women's Premier League. There's a lot of money going into what is effectively the Women's IPL. I'm not really sure what to call it because it feels weird to me to call it the Women's Premier League. Because of the Premier League, right? And also, I never refer to it as the EPL. That makes no sense to me when I hear people say the English Premier League. I'm like, what are you talking about? So anyway, the Women's IPL is starting. There is going to be, I think, 5 foreign players per team. So that's 25 slots for foreign players. Let's be brutal about it, Estelle. We talked earlier about how there's not a huge amount of visibility for the Sri Lanka women's players. There's not a huge amount of visibility for women's cricket in general compared to the men. Still a lot of the big sites don't have as much information as you would expect them to have about the women's game. So I think this tournament that's upcoming is going to be a really key tournament for players to lay down markers to try and get one of those IPL or women's IPL contracts. Who do you think the Sri Lanka players who are going out there are likely for teams to be looking at? We all know about Chamri. We all know that Ranavira got picked into the women's team of the ICC team of the year. Is there other names that you think could be, you know, if they have a good tournament, could put themselves up for selection? Or maybe you think that there's so little information about women's cricket that if all 11 of them go and have a stormer and get to the final or semi-final, that they could all end, you know, more of them than not might end up with contracts.
Well, I have bad news. The draft is supposed to be on the 10th and the World Cup starts on the 10th. So I don't know how much of a difference the performances are going to have on that unless like there are late additions or players pull out. Of course, Adapattu is going to be one that everyone's looking at. She's, although she hasn't had, like, she didn't have a great 2022, but I think what works in her favor is, number one, I mean, you don't get a lot of players who can strike the ball like her. And number two, she's done well in the kind of the exhibition IPLs that the BCCI have organized in the past. So definitely kind of has a step up on everybody in that aspect. Apart from her, obviously Inoka Ranavira will be another one who I hope gets an opportunity. She's done all the hard work over the last year, kind of almost, you know, unseen, right? Her contributions to Sri Lanka cricket. So I really hope that she gets an opportunity. Apart from those two, I think we have to, if you're being realistic, it's going to be really tough for anybody else to get in, particularly when you look at what domestic players in India probably bring to the table. So you're going to have a lot of spinners, I would think, right? I think the areas that they would be looking at these players who can, you know, hard-hitting batters. And that's one thing that Sri Lanka is severely lacking. So I think it's going to be tough for a lot of those players. Kavisha Dilhari, for whatever reason, has kind of still stayed on the radar for a lot of people who follow the game, because I think chiefly because of how well she played in her debut series against India. But that was years ago. She hasn't had, I wouldn't say she's had a great career so far, but she's still young, has a long way to go. So that might be kind of the wild card. But I'm hoping that at least two get in. So Ranasingha and Adapattu. And then hopefully we sneak in at least one or two more.
The teams have they got to, or they've been encouraged to pick one player from the associate nation. I wonder if actually that's, you know, Sri Lanka isn't an associate nation. It's a full member of the ICC, has been for before me and you were born. But I wonder if in this instance, actually, Sri Lanka might have benefited from at least our women's game being kind of considered in some way associate status, because I think there's other associate teams whose women's programs are probably much more developed than Sri Lanka's program. We talked about, you know, when the under-19s team went off to play in the World Cup, we talked about how actually the USA might be further ahead with us in terms of the way they've nurtured women's cricketers than we have. I mean, Sri Lanka's basically still running off, when it comes to women's cricket, in many ways, the structure is not there. It's still running off kind of vibes and just pure love for the game to get the sport going. I don't hear, I don't see, I don't read about huge amounts of organisation. I wonder if actually if this associate cricketer rule becomes more common throughout other franchise tournaments. And I think the BBL used to have it, or the women's BBL had it at some point as well. Then actually that might kind of let other nations, other associate nations, kind of catch up with Sri Lanka's women's program if they haven't done already. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Estelle.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think a lot of the associate nations have kind of focused on the women's game a lot more, because I think in a way, because they know that it's going to be so tough to catch up with the men's game because it's progressed kind of beyond their reach. A lot more realistic would be to kind of make it into the top 10 in the women's game. I do think that, or I hope, with the women's IPL, you know, with the kind of money that's been thrown around, right? I think now, if Sri Lanka cricket don't realize now that there's money in it, I don't know what else can prove it, because it's now clear to everyone, right, that there is a market for it and you can make your money, but you need to invest. I think one of the biggest things you realize when you kind of cover women's sport for a longer period of time is the amount of investment good teams put into it, right? Like, for example, you look at, I mean, a lot of people look at the Sri Lanka team at the Under-19 World Cup and say, you know what, they're going to lose. What's the point of them going? They're going to lose, right? But what they don't realize is, say a team like India, right? I remember speaking to Shashikala Siriwadana about this a couple of years ago, actually. And she mentioned that by the time an Indian player comes to the Under-19 level, she's played more domestic cricket than Shashikala may have played in her entire career, because they have the age group level competitions from like under 15 or under 16, right? Whereas Sri Lanka doesn't function like that. So it's hard for them to be competitive at that level when they're basically just being, you know, thrown together 2 weeks before a tournament or 1 month before a tournament, right? I don't know if being considered an associate nation would have helped per se, because obviously with the women's IPL, it's, if it's one player per squad, it's just five players. But I would have liked if Sri Lanka cricket could have spoken to their good friends, the BCCI, and requested that, you know, some kind of, you know, player partnership kind of thing can be discussed. I don't know how feasible that is, because obviously it's all about profits, right? But I would have liked to see something like that, just so that maybe an under-19 player or someone at the development level can go and have that experience, at least as netballers, or just to be in that kind of professional environment, which they don't experience in Sri Lanka.
Just to clarify, I'm not saying I want Sri Lanka to become an associate nation, yeah. Being a full nation, a full member of the ICC is obviously preferable. I was just kind of making a point, I suppose. Estelle, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what we can expect from the girls at this tournament.
Hi, I'm Nikesh Shrugani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI. We've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
Yeah, and you can follow Estelle and myself on social media as well. Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudeh1, as in the number one, and I'm at Mark Machado. We're both on Twitter. We're both talking to each other. We also have a show account as well, at SL on 9994 DM. Is that right, Estelle? Have I got that wrong? I think that's right. I should write it down. Yeah, I look at it should. Several times a day.
I think you should turn your screensaver into the Twitter handle. Just have the word.
I've just figured out that I've just learned how to tell the time, Estelle. So that's the next
exactly
thing.
Baby steps.
Yeah. right. Back to the T20 World Cup starts. Sri Lanka's tournament starts in 5 days' time. They've got two warm up games. The first one's against Ireland. Then they play the West Indies. Then they are in a absolutely what to me feels like a horrific group of South Africa, Bangladesh, Australia, and New Zealand. Just for context, the tournament is in South Africa, so they'll have all the benefits of being the host nation. And I suspect if you want to know about the issues around the South African squad selection, because they've left out one of their best players, then you probably want to tune into South Africa 99.94. And Australia are probably, the Australian women's side is probably, possibly, the best professional sports team ever assembled. And New Zealand are a very well-developed cricket team, and the Bangladeshis are no pushover whatsoever. Estelle, as fans of Sri Lanka cricket, what would a good tournament look like for the girls going into it?
Yeah, I think a good tournament would be two wins in that round. Like you said, it's a really tough group. Sri Lanka would back themselves to beat Bangladesh. But like you said, they're not going to be pushovers. We saw them at the Under-19 World Cup as well, where Sri Lanka kind of, you'd think that Sri Lanka would overcome them, but they were a really strong side. So Bangladesh is going to be the kind of tough one. I think, look, with the problems with the South African squad, I'm not wishing this on anybody, but I would assume there might be a little bit of, you know, disruption within the squad, particularly because it's the first game of the tournament. I mean, I'm a big fan of the South African side, and I hope they pull things together by the beginning of the tournament. But that might be something that Sri Lanka would want to exploit going in, particularly because it's the first game of the tournament and neither team is kind of settled. So that might be the one that possibly Sri Lanka could cause an upset. But you have to think, as it has been over the last couple of years, that you'd need something special for Matapattu, right?
Yeah. Our issue, we know this, is putting big scores on. And we know that if we're going to get a big score, it's going to be Atapattu. Charmi's going to hit big, right? If we can put a big score in, then I think we give ourselves a chance. I also feel that we're probably a team that's better at chasing than at setting that score, because I think when we chase, we kind of, the tempo, the pace is set for us by the opposition, and it gives us more of a chance. That said, as I've said it, I was just thinking, well, actually, we're pretty tidy at bowling, so maybe put runs on the board would be good. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think the fact of the matter is that it's a really poor batting side. I mean, barring a couple of occasions where they've done well, they've really struggled with the bat. I mean, in some ways, pretty similar to the men's team. They've just not managed to, you know, put teams under pressure with the bat. So whether they bat first or chase, I think the bowlers will be the ones who'll have to kind of make do with whatever is given to them and try to win us a couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think they're, you know, let's try and target a couple of games and try and get those wins. And, you know, me and you, Estelle, we always say, once you get there, anything can happen. Well, we're here now. Tournament starts proper on the 10th of February against South Africa. Let's, you know, I'd back these girls, right? Against all the odds, they're there representing their country. In some ways, it's always a miracle when a Sri Lankan team is anywhere. Probably more so when it's the women. Now that they're there, I bat them to put a performance in. We didn't think they'd get to an Asia Cup final. They did that. Mm. You know, conditions probably suit them a bit more. Why can't they go on and do something special over there? I think they can. I believe in them. I believe. And I think as fans, that's all we can do, right? I'm looking forward to it. Estelle, should we leave it there? We'll obviously be back as the tournament progresses, and hopefully till quite deep in the tournament, talk to you about how the girls are doing and what they're up to. If you're part of the squad, if you're going out there, we obviously wish you all the luck in the world and hope you girls have the absolute best time. This has been Sri Lanka 99.94. Please do download the app. Please do follow us on all social media platforms, and we'll be back soon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast, and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate two engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!